Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Havila Podcast. I'm Havila Cunnington, and we are continuing in our series of Created to Hear God. I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm excited that we're learning to hear God's voice uniquely, personally, and I hope you're feeling empowered to connect with God in a way that you maybe never have or didn't know was possible. And if you're leading people, I hope that you're teaching them that there's not one way to encounter God, but multiple ways, and empowering them. So last week we talked to Debbie. She was a seer and she just did phenomenal. I hope you go back and listen to that. She talked about having big dreams, what happens if the dream doesn't happen, and just the signs of kind of really practical ways to process life as a seer. So you will want to go back and listen to Debbie's podcast. But today I'm really excited because this is not the knower episode. We will do a knower episode, but we're kind of taking a little bit of a left turn. And I brought on one of my, well, she's a third year student, but she's part of our team. She helps run our Truth Academy. Abby Solomon is here and she is incredible. You're going to love her. And we're going to have some conversations on the prophetic and really figuring out kind of how to figure out what prophetic personality you might be. Just have a good conversation around it. So, Abby, I want to welcome you to today's podcast.
Hello and hello, everyone. I'm Abby.
I'm so glad you're here.
This is so fun.
Oh, I love it.
This is my first podcast and I'm already loving it. Oh, I've said 2 words.
And everyone that is listening is loving your accent. So maybe give everybody a little bit of like who you are and where you kind of came from and how you landed here.
Okay, so I'm from Australia. If you haven't already heard from my accent, I'm from Melbourne, Australia. And so I moved here to Redding, California in 2021 during the pandemic, where I left my lockdown nation and I came to Redding where there was no lockdown and it was the best thing ever. And so I came here to do BSSM, our ministry school at Bethel. And I moved here with my husband. We were newlyweds, 2 months married, came straight to Reading and have been doing school. So now I'm in my third year and I'm doing my third year with Truth to Table with Havila. And so here we are.
I'm so glad you said yes. And you were persistent, which I appreciated. I've had multiple Australians work for me in the past or like with me. I love an Australian because you guys are, there is what you see is what you get. I love how you don't have this need to take care of anybody else's emotions in the sense, mm-hmm. like you're kind and you're compassionate, but you don't have this weird American culture where we, like, I remember one of my interns back in the day, she was Australian and I said, what's it like being in America? And she said, you know, one of the hardest things for me was when somebody would say, I'm sick or I had a hard day, mm-hmm. Americans would say, I'm so sorry. Oh, that sounds terrible. And she would say, I'm not sorry. Like, I'm not sorry. Why should I be sorry? Like, I'm not sorry they got sick. Like, that's too bad. And she wasn't being cold, but she was just saying, like, Americans need that, like, schmoozing a little bit. And it's right. So she was right. And I said, and we do. But I love it too, because I think Australians have this courageous kind of, you know, you're on an island, you got a big country. And now I look at you and I'm like, wow, what an amazing thing. You leave your home, you leave your country, you're newly married, you land in Redding, California, mm-hmm. knowing nobody other than to do this school, and you're 3 years in. Were you always this brave?
I've always been very visionary, but I wouldn't say I've always been this brave. Like, I have had to work through in the last few years being okay to fail, being okay to step out, even at the risk of rejection or the risk of failure. It's something that I have had to grow in the last few years and have definitely been in a pressure cooker where you move to a country where you have no finances because you can't work. We're not legally allowed to work mm-hmm. in America. And so I was pretty much just put in this place where I had no option but to learn these things.
Wow.
So
it's amazing. I'm impressed by you consistently. And you are really this is not what the podcast is about, but you actually leave this week for the Philippines. So you have this whole other part of your world that you have a heart for. Can you tell everybody about that?
Yeah. So I am going to the Philippines for the second time, where we will be going into the red light district and we'll be partnering with an organization organization to literally go into the bars, and we do what we call soft rescues. So we offer the girls a way to leave, and they've all been trafficked. So we give them an option to leave, then we take them away for 4 days and we take them on a retreat. And so here they get to experience what a life of freedom can look like, and we get to introduce them to Jesus. And even just last year we had, I think it was 13 girls, or maybe it was 18. Actually, it was 18 girls come on this retreat with us. And from beginning to end, the transformation on their lives was radical. Like, their demeanor completely shifted. They all gave their lives to the Lord. There was also, we had 2 pimps come. They got baptized. We had like 8 people get baptized. One of the pimps came out of the water, like literally speaking in tongues, having no idea what was happening. And she's like, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. And then there's like, it's just wild what we see. And so being able to be a part of that again, just in a couple short days, I'm very excited to be back there.
Yeah. And I'm just so impressed with you, because you have really sacrificed and fundraised and really had this passion to do this. You're writing a book alongside of it. You have so much going on. But I love that you're with us at Truth to Table, and you've kind of been on this journey with us about really learning about prophetic personalities, although BSSM teaches you about obviously being prophetic. So I know you had a couple questions that you felt like our listeners would have wanted answers to. And you reached out to me and said, Havila, we need to answer some of these questions, because I had these questions. I know people in my life do. So can we do a podcast and answer some of these questions?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what I'm assuming?
This is where we're going. This is right.
We are on track. So I'm going to give it to you, because you are the one that wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it might be helpful even to give listeners a bit of context as to why I'm asking these questions. Because for me, so I grew up in the church. I got saved when I was 3, and so was raised in a prophetic environment as well. And so I was sitting through teachings on the prophetic from about 15 years of age in depth, of like the differences between the gift of prophecy and the role of a prophet. And I was doing like in-depth training and teaching. And so from a very young age, was exposed to the prophetic, was exposed to the voice of God, have been hearing the voice of God probably, I don't know if I can put an exact age, but like somewhere between 8 to 12 was when I'm signed to hear the voice of God. And so for me, growing up, this has been very familiar. The 4 prophetic personality types hasn't been familiar. That was not anything I was taught until I came into this environment and with your teaching. But just hearing the voice of God and hearing the prophetic was always something I had quite a strong inclination towards, and was always quite confident in doing so. And so it's been really interesting with Havila having her new book release and talking about the 4 prophetic personality types. I remember people are asking the question, so what prophetic personality are you? And I've just been like, well, I don't know. And I remember at the start, like, this shame was creeping in of like, how can I not know my prophetic personality? Like, here I am. I have been in the church for a very long time hearing the voice of God. And I am like, I have no idea what my prophetic personality is.
Yeah.
And for me, it's because I can see so many pivotal points in my life where there's been decisions made, where there's been encounters with the Lord that points to all 4 prophetic personalities.
Yes.
And 3 in particular. And so I'm like, I don't know.
Well, and you said it well, because you were already familiar with the prophetic and with God speaking. So there probably was a bit of a part of you that was open to God communicating in multiple ways, where I think some people, they don't even know if God will speak. And if he can speak, can they hear him? So they start out really way behind in that sense. And so for you, you probably were already activated in all 4 ways without even knowing. And we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but you know, one of the things, it's the hardest for people to figure out what their prophetic personality is either they're new at hearing God's voice. And so their natural experiences, God is almost going back and redefining, like, that was a vision. That was a hearing my voice. That was a feeling. And they have to almost backtrack and go through their story to go, oh, God was involved. But the other ones that are very difficult are those that have been exposed to the prophetic so much that you've never really had to figure out what yours was specifically, because you're operating in all 4.
Yeah, which is so interesting. And I think for me, because I've been in the culture of the church and in a prophetic environment specifically, for so long, I have developed these. You know, I don't know if I started with all of them, but I've definitely, as I've been around and taken trainings and stuff, there has been a development that has taken place with these four.
Yeah. Do you, now with your husband, does he have a specific type that you would say, oh yeah,
Ben, I have no idea what he is.
So when you were looking at the four perfect personalities, did any of them resonate with you?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been a number. So the three, again, there's been a few. So Hera, for me, like I look back into when I was younger, I was a vivid journaler. I was always journaling what the Lord was saying to me. I was journaling the prophetic words I would get for myself and for others. I was just always like, I would ask the Lord a question and then I would wait and I would listen to what he would say. And I would just write word out for word of what he would say as a young girl. And so I did that consistently. So I have instances like that. I have instances as like a feeler, where I am going into environments and I'm like, oh, I feel really tired all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel really anxious. And only since coming to Bethel have I learned to ask the question, oh, did I come in with this?
Mm-hmm.
How, like, is this me or is this someone else? And then learning to steward it from there. But I've had so many moments, even in the last number of years, where I was regularly going out to abortion clinics and helping the women who were going in for abortions to just provide them some care and some love.
Yes.
And as we would go there, I remember the very first time I rocked up on the sidewalk, I burst into tears because the weight of emotion that I was feeling from just being there, mm-hmm. I just couldn't hold it. I couldn't contain it. And so I remember for that very first time, I was walking up and down trying to process this with the Lord. Like, I'm feeling this heavy grief and I don't know what to do with it. So I have instances like that.
Yeah.
Knowing for me, oh my gosh, I just know that the Lord has said this. I just, as in, I know that this is what he wants me to do. I just have this deep knowing. And I know sometimes I've been in caught in trouble of like, are you just making a judgment about that? Are you just making an assumption? And I'm like, no, but I just know that's what I'm supposed to do. Or that's just supposed to be the step, because I'm like, so then there's that. And then honestly, Seer is probably one that I can't resonate with a lot, but
I don't know. I'm with you a lot and you have big dreams too. So it is interesting. I do think though, you're to be receptive also is
mm-hmm.
key.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always say like when I go preach somewhere and I've prepared, it's like 50-50. So if it goes well, it's usually 50% preparation and 50% expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I can prepare and bring my 50%, which is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And if the room doesn't expect anything, there's nothing I can do outside of that. Or
right.
I can go in and the room's expecting something and I haven't prepared and something also doesn't happen. It's like my heart isn't prepared. I'm not connected. So I would almost say the same with the prophetic personalities. If you are receptive and your expectation is that God is speaking, I think you're way more susceptible to experiencing him in all of those different ways.
Which
it's more
so
the, yeah, more the skeptics that are like, I don't know, that tend to be like, okay, I need one area to at least identify before I can move forward.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about that then.
Yes.
So we've got the four different areas. And for you, you've been asking the question around like, what is your prophetic personality? Can you even just share the simplicity of like, well, why do we need to know our prophetic personality?
Yeah.
Like, what's the importance of knowing that dominant type? Especially if, like you just said, we can know, we can operate in all four to some level.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I go back to that, the book that I think about, which is the five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of, I think, our culture that could say, well, just be nice and love them. I don't understand why we have to know what our love language is.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal is that in knowing what prophetic personalities are, it actually helps us experience love from God and connection. And it also allows us to see others uniquely as well, that they don't experience God in the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have found that when I find out how he's uniquely communicating with me, like being a knower, it gives me permission to be different and to be unique. And it also gives me permission to not label others as either failure or success by what how they're experiencing God, but saying God does interact differently. So my goal in it, and at least for, do you need to know your prophetic personality? No, you don't have, I mean, you can talk to God as much as you want. The goal of this, it's like, do you need to know the five love languages? Well, I think it goes back to, do you want to be successful? Mm-hmm. Do you want other people to encounter God through you? If you do, then being resourced is part of us being good stewards. So like if I want to be happily married, that's my goal. And my husband and I love each other. But if I can learn his love language, then I, even in humility and with a sacrificing, I start to go, his love language is acts of service. So instead of me going, you know, I love you. I tell you, I love you. We feel love. Okay. I now have become a student of him, which causes there to be a deeper connection, a deeper relationship. So within our prophetic personalities, mm-hmm. I first think it's very important to know how you were created for connection and how God interacts with you, because you are worthy of that and you are unique enough to have a unique experience with God. But then secondly, it causes there to be an empathy and a love for others, which I think is another factor we forget. It's kind of all about us. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, if we are going to be his sheep and hear his voice and actually tell other sheep about what he's saying, then it's actually loving for me to just to understand how other people see the world, how other people experience God. That's a loving and a stewardship issue. So, you know, a lot of times mm-hmm. people will say, you know, I don't know, I'm just a knower, it's fine. And I'm like, yeah, but you're dismissing the feeler.
Right.
And you're ignoring the hearer and you don't understand the seer. And so you're actually dismissing and disconnecting from the community, the body of Christ, because you're like, I'm good. And I see people do that all the time. And I just think it's just not about you all the time. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's about the love and connection with God, but it's also about love and connection with others.
Yeah, that makes sense. So pretty much what you're saying is that we need to know our prophetic personalities so that we can connect with God on a deeper level.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's like we can kind of just group it all into, I know God loves me, he speaks to me. But a lot of times he actually isn't speaking to us. We're hearing it from somebody else. It's like mm-hmm. secondhand information. Like mm-hmm. your husband loves you. He thinks you're amazing. He loves that your humor. He thinks, and we're going, yeah, it feels like I'm getting connected with my husband because someone's telling me everything that he feels and thinks and says about me. But it's not until you have that one-on-one interaction do you have an intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I think for a large majority of the church, we don't even know that that intimacy is accessible. Mm. And we have gotten really good at having secondhand information be enough. Mm-hmm. But no wonder we feel disconnected, or we feel lethargic in our faith, or we feel, just apathetic. Or, you know, we have a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, even maybe yeah. some depression. It's connected because, again, you need that inner connection with your creator that nothing can substitute. You have mm-hmm. to have that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and even myself included for many years, didn't have that.
Yeah.
And I just was checking the boxes. Mm. And it was enough sometimes to get someone to pray over you or give you a prophetic word. Those things feel great. They are incredible. But when you're by yourself and you're doing your life, mm-hmm. it's not the same as having your creator talk to you.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And it sounds like almost you're hitting on this like crucial element in culture right now, where the church is not going to the Lord for firsthand revelation, but is relying on leaders and pastors and other people to feed them revelation and looking at books rather than reading the Bible itself. And so it's almost like you're hitting this from an angle that is really unique and building that connection in the body of Christ with the Lord, which is so needed right now.
It is, you know, it's almost like going back to the basics of mm-hmm. like, you know, I was listening to somebody recently and they said, you know, whatever religion you are. And I was in my car with my teenager and I just verbally said it. I said, we're not in a religion, we're in a relationship. Mm. And when I wanted him to hear, no, we didn't pick a religion. We mm-hmm. didn't pick a faith. We picked a relationship. We picked to be in connection with our creator. And so we've missed that. I don't know why I've missed that. We've missed that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we've got to go back to the basics, mm-hmm. like reading our word, talking to God, having prayer time, fasting, you know, the basics that we go, wow, you know, I used to do that 10 years ago or 20 years ago, or wow, what does that even mean? Well, we are, again, and this, I've said this before in my messages, but this is not a plurality. This isn't like we just all get, God gets a vote, I get a vote, my mom gets a vote. No, no. This is lordship. Mm-hmm. And lordship requires that he makes the final decision in our lives. He is the one that we are looking for answers, for solutions. And so my call to myself and to others is you need to get back. Mm-hmm. Get back into an intimate relationship with God. That's why he died for you. That's why he delivered you. Mm-hmm. Was not to check boxes. It was because he wanted, Jesus said to his Father in scripture, I want to be with them like I am with you. Please, mm-hmm. Father, I want to be with them. The call to us is we can be as close to God as we want to be. And we just don't understand how it fits in our modern world. Like, mm-hmm. how's that fit in socials and reading books and all the things? And someone said it, and I wish I had said it, but you cannot curate your faith. You cannot get the right book and the right message and just somehow, you have to surrender. Mm-hmm. You have to surrender. You have to come under the authority and say, I am not doing anything until I'm connected. Mm-hmm. And I had a podcast yesterday I was on with somebody, and she was saying, what do you tell the girls that have disconnected from church and they're out there and they don't know how to get back in, or if they should, and you know, how do they get back to being in church? And I was like, that's the wrong question. Like, the question isn't how do I get back to my faith? How do I fit faith in my life? That mm-hmm. is not the question. The question is, God is the center of my life mm-hmm. and all decisions flow around him. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back to a Christ-centered lifestyle,
yeah.
not just a curated Christian experience. Mm-hmm.
And the simplicity of just knowing him.
Just knowing him. The love of him. And I think there's a lot of pain in that. I think some of us have gotten close to God and maybe things didn't happen the way we thought, or we thought he was going to take care of us in a certain way. And it was painful. And there are relational wounds with God. Mm. And I think instead of avoiding that, saying, you know what, I believed something that has held me back, or you know, whether it's you're a knower and you felt like a heathen and were being left out, or whether you are a seer and are a disillusioned dreamer, or whether you're a hearer where people just have tuned you out and you just feel like you can't get those words to the world, or, you know, whether you're a feeler and people have said you should go to therapy and get on some medication, there's this disconnect. And what we want to do is go back. And I think part of the issue is that the church again, there's a difference between a prophet and being prophetic, but we have elevated hearing God's voice to being a transactional experience mm-hmm. rather than a relational experience. And so what I'm trying to do with Created to Hear God is stop with the, am I prophetic? Can I give the world prophetic words? Mm-hmm. Can God tell me something about my neighbor? Stop all of that and go back to the beginning, which is, I need a relationship with my creator. I need to hear from him.
Yeah. And I love it. It reminds me of something that Haley Braun says to us as third years. She says, how she used to think about prophecy as like the gift was whether or not, and I hope I don't misquote this, but the gift is whether you were, she thought that it was whether or not you were accurate in the prophetic word. But then she just felt the Lord fall on her and say, no, the gift, that's not the gift. The gift is the fact that your heavenly Father is speaking to you. Wow. And that in its core of like the fact that we get to hear the voice of God, that the Lord wants relationship with us. And even the prophetic personalities, like you were mentioning last night at our Bible study, that it's not, this isn't about prophesying. This is about hearing God's voice at its core and restoring relationship with our Heavenly Father, which in this culture has been so missed. Mm-hmm. And so I love the prophetic personalities because it's all about connecting with God as a foremost priority. It's not about prophesying, which is so easy to fall into, loving the gift of prophecy more than the giver, mm-hmm. but it's all about connecting with God.
Yeah, and I think that's why I spent the first three chapters talking about our connection.
Right.
Because I think people are like, let's get to the strategy. And I'm like, you can't get to the strategy until you get back to the connection, the relational.
Yeah.
So much of what we do, like I would say, if we go after healing and someone gets physically healed, of course there's a connection and a relief and a healing. But prophecy, hearing God's voice, it is internal therapy. It basically answers questions. It solves problems. It it tells us why we're here. And it's just, I can spend an hour in a therapist's office and it's very successful and I love it. And you know, they love God and they're giving me good feedback. Mm-hmm. I can spend 30 minutes in worship and God in the Holy Spirit in his kindness will say, let's look at that. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, okay. And I have courage in the anointing. Mm-hmm. And then he'll unpack something for me that could never have been unpacked by reading the latest and the greatest or running to that conference. And we dismiss, like, we have this huge account full of millions of dollars of resources. Mm-hmm. And we just never tap into the account. We mm-hmm. just, it just sits there. Mm-hmm. And I will say this too. I don't know when I said this on the podcast, but people say a lot, I want to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
But I don't think they do.
Interesting.
I don't.
Tell me more.
Because, and I feel this way at times in my own life, we say we want to hear God's voice, but if we believe at the core, mm-hmm. right? And all of us have felt this way at certain times, I think, about God. But if we think he's disappointed, angry, distant, apathetic, ready to shame us, blame us, call us to higher levels, and we already feel like we're barely getting through life and we're just trying to be brave enough to happen, we actually don't want to hear from him, because who wants to lecture? Who wants to feel already that we're already feeling ashamed of our choices? Why do we want to go talk to a God that's going to shame us more? And it's really it's bad theology around how God treats his kids, what he thinks about his kids.
And who he is.
And who he is.
Yeah.
And who he is. And so I think that there's this disconnect. And I know in my own self, I do avoid God sometimes. And I do it because I go back into, oh my gosh, I'm afraid he's going to talk about that. Or mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with my own shame. Or I don't want to deal with my own choices. Or I don't want to deal with my own fears. And yet it's so crazy, because once I do connect, it's so much easier than I thought. It's so much better than I thought. Mm-hmm. But I do think this assumption that everyone wants to hear God is just not true.
Well, can you even share, how do you get from that place of like not wanting to speak with the Lord about something and then to having the courage to share that? Like what is happening so that like people, I hear this a lot, right? Like this does happen. And so
it does.
Can you help us understand what you're doing so that you can reconnect with the Father?
Yeah. I had a question from someone last night at the Bible study that said, I'm just scared. I've connected. It's such a painful season. And then to go back, I'm scared that it's going to, I'm not gonna be able to do it. So I want to say, first of all, that's a legitimate thing. I don't think you're being dramatic. I don't think that you're a wimp. I don't think that you somehow missed it. No, it is. We've all had seasons with God where we are. And I think the reason we have a hard time with God is because usually people in our life represent God. Mm-hmm. So it's whether it's a parent, a caretaker, a leader, somebody, and usually in their humanity, they, as we see them as a pure voice of God, a pure, the mind of Christ, they disappoint us, they hurt us, they treat us poorly, and we mesh them up. And mm-hmm. so then all of a sudden it's, this leader had a moral failure, and then it's like, well, God, does everybody have this? No one's going to respect anybody, and I might as well just, I want to stay far away because my past has abuse, and now the church has abuse, and I'm out. Or, mm-hmm. This leader was controlling, and so that every time I want to get close to God, I have anxiety, and it's connected to the controlling leader that I was around. So one of the work that you have to do, and I've had to do mm-hmm. internally, is you have to separate what was human and what was him.
Okay.
And I think we don't do that. We just kind of go, God, help me be brave. Like I was talking to somebody recently and she said, when I started to be really prophetic in my environment, half of the people that were around me dismissed me and thought I was being dramatic. Mm-hmm. And the other half elevated me and was like, wow, you hear from God. And she said, both of those left me isolated and alone. Wow. I felt alone, even if it was elevated or dismissed. So she said, when I want to go back into hearing God's voice, mm-hmm. I have a ton of anxiety. And she said, and I'm realizing it's because I don't want to be alone. I don't want to feel alone. So she did her work. She figured out what that feeling was, which was being alone. And now she gets to go to God and say, I don't want to be alone. So I need some tools. Wow. And I encouraged her, you need to find people that are in your life, that know you, that you're not ministering prophetically and you're not trying to help, but they're just your people. And then you need to let the Holy Spirit unpack some of those things that the enemy has wrapped up to keep you stuck. You have to take a risk.
Yeah.
You can't, all of us have been hurt, right? All of us have been hurt. And if we, every time we were hurt, said we'll never do that again, we would never have a friend. We would never talk to our parents again. We would never go to a church. We would never stay married. Because if we write off every time there's pain and we try to protect ourselves, our world gets really small. So instead of it being so offensive, I can't believe I went through this pain, and I'm not dismissing your pain, but it's not as personal as you think. Relationships are painful. Things are difficult. And the goal is to walk slowly. That might be with a counselor. It might be with some prayer time. It might be that you go, I'm only going to listen to one worship song a day. I'm just going to start small. And I'm just going to say, I'm not going to try. I'm just going to sit for a few minutes and listen. I'm going to go to church once a month for a season. Or maybe I'm going to pick a different church. And that church that maybe represents a lot of chaos for me, I'm just going to go somewhere different. Maybe even somewhere that's nothing like you were raised around, but you just, again, obviously with good theology, but you might end up going to a very, you know, conservative, or, you know, a very just, I want to say liturgical. I hope I'm saying that right. Where that's just what you need for a season, because you need to reconnect with God and disconnect from the humanity around it. Mm. And so that's what I would recommend. Everyone has their own journey. My journey was, I disappeared for a while. I would say about 5 years, I disappeared from it. It was very painful, the prophetic. And I just went into being a word girl, teaching the word. People would say, will you prophesy? Nope, not interested. Don't want to do it. And then slowly, as I felt powerful in it, like I was making the powerful choice. I wasn't being told, or I wasn't being demanded. Then I could powerfully make that choice. And then I was more doing it out of like a real authentic experience. It's almost like someone who was told you have to have an hour quiet time, and then you haven't had a quiet time forever, and you're like, I don't have any quiet times. And I'd say, okay, well, you might have disappeared for a while, but let's figure it out. You get to be in charge of it. So maybe it's during your walk in the morning, or maybe it's, you know, maybe not just going, it's either or, it's just a little different. And so changing the method is really important.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I love that you touched on that. So let's talk about the prophetic, the four types.
Yes.
So how, I've got four that I resonate, three strongly, but my fourth one is very closely underneath. How do I, and I've done the quiz.
Yes, you have.
So Havilah has this quiz that you can take online, and you can determine what your prophetic personality type is. There's a series of 20 questions. It's really easy. And then it will show you what your dominant one is. And so I did that last night because I was like, I have this theory that I have three equally dominant ones, and I'm going to test that out if I'm right. And so I did the test, and
you did.
I was right.
Yeah. You were
right. So I had three, but my three dominant ones were not the ones I expected. So, interesting. So my question is, I've done the quiz. How do I determine my dominant prophetic personality?
Yes. Okay. So I wrote an entire chapter on this because you're not alone.
Great.
A lot of people deal with this. And so there's a couple different methods you can do, which the chapter obviously has all of them, but I would start with one, which is the first time you encountered God, how did you encounter him? Because you said, you talked about hearing and writing, and that was the first thing you brought up.
But hearing was the one that I thought was going to be my dominant, but it wasn't. It was my number four.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
It is very interesting, but I'm curious. I would go back to that because the test is obviously not perfect. It's just a starting point.
Yeah.
So I would rather go into, what do you think your dominant is? You know?
No. Okay. That's why I'm asking.
So what's the first way you interacted with him that you felt a connection with him?
My goodness, this is taking me back. I think it might have been hearing, because when I was younger, just the journaling, the writing, what God was saying would always be what I would do. But then I also learned, and maybe this was a learned skill.
Yeah.
But I remember reading this book on the voice of God, and they were talking about how your gut feeling is how the Lord speaks to you through your gut feeling. And I remember doing all this research on it, reading the Bible on it, even in Bible college, and like finding out like, this is amazing. Like the Lord literally speaks to you through your gut feeling and your instincts. And I think that even may have been where I developed my Noah side.
Okay, let me ask you another question. In your prophetic environment, what prophetic personality was elevated? Did you see one specifically that was, or what was your key leaders? What were, how were they operating?
I would wonder if it was Hira. I might not be, that might not be accurate, but I say that only because he was a very strong prophet. So he would very regularly be giving.
Thus saith the Lord's.
I don't even know thus saith the Lord's, but just like strong prophetic words of like, this is what I feel the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I've just equated that to him hearing everything.
Well, it's interesting because I'm curious, how did you learn to write things down? Who taught you that method? Was it something that the pastor recommended? Was it something your family did?
No, he wasn't even pastoring at that time. Wasn't my family. Could have been my youth, maybe my youth leaders, maybe. But I was always a journaler. So like since I was young, I was always journaling. So when I started really diving into my relationship with the Lord, that also evolved into journaling what the Lord was saying. But I don't know how I learned it. Well,
your feeler, to me, when you talked about being a feeler, it was really connected to your call. Because I didn't hear you say, I would just weep in my room at night and just feel the burden of God. When you would feel that, it was usually like on the, in the trenches, in an atmosphere where you would feel what God was feeling. And it's usually connected to a mission is what I kind of felt from you.
Yeah.
But your knowing, so when you grew up, how did you know, how did you come to believe that God was real?
I just knew he was.
Okay. And and so, and that's why I wonder if you're a knower, because I wonder a little bit if your hearing was taught to you and that seemed like the most appropriate way of doing things. And if your pastor was saying, thus saith the Lord, or your leader, your youth leader was saying, God speaks to you this way. What do you operate now in when, if you were to have a 10 minutes away with God, what would you be looking for? Would you be looking for words? Would you be looking for an image? Would you be looking for an emotional experience? Or would you be looking for like wisdom or clarity?
If I was asking the Lord something right now, probably would go in between hearing and knowing.
Yeah.
Like I think of right now, like when I make decisions, they're the two that I'm usually leaning towards.
And do you need a thus saith the Lord in your life?
I don't need it, but I do get it at times.
But you get it. And would you say...
But not all the time.
But not all the time.
Not all the time. I've learned a lot of my decision making throughout the years I've developed. If the Lord doesn't say no, then I've got a yes. So I will keep on pursuing things until I feel the Lord and the Holy Spirit nudge me of being like, no, Abby, let's not do that. Yeah. And the Lord has redirected me many times, but I've built a track record with the Lord of like, all right, I'm going to step out in this. Do I feel the Lord saying no and pulling me back? Or do I feel his permission? He's not necessarily saying, yes, go do this.
Right.
But I feel the invitation of like, I can step into this if I want to.
Okay. So when you married your husband, how did you know he was the one?
Oh my gosh. This is this whole story you've dived into.
Not the story, just the like, what was it that was sealed the deal for you?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Because you said God told you that he was the one, right?
I thought I was going to marry him when I was 12.
Okay. And how did you know that? Did God say you're going to marry him or did you just have a thought?
Oh my gosh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I'm just trying to remember. Was it a knowing? I wonder if it was a knowing.
Yeah. I think you're a knower and a strong wing of a hearer, because I think when I'm, and again, we have been together, you know, for almost a year and a half, I've watched you. You do have a God said and God told me, but you have this really strong, I know that I know, like that is, you moved across the country, I'm in the world, you married, you know, Ben, and in a very short period of time, you told your church that you were on staff with, God told me to do this. I just think there's a knowing in you. I just do. Yeah. So I don't know. That's just mine. But I think you probably have twins. Like, I think that there's this twin thing that I think is very connected. So in my world, I would say you might have been a knower that in a world where there was so much prophetic, hearing was very elevated, and right. It really makes it for like a tandem thing. Where if you had been in maybe a church that wasn't prophetic, it makes me wonder if your hearing or your knowing would have been elevated really clear.
Interesting.
But I just think you're a knower. Because even you writing things down and believing for an answer is the knowing, in the sense of like, you know, you wrote something and asked God to answer, mm-hmm. where I almost think a hearer would say, God told me this, mm-hmm. God told me that, versus I know that this is what I need to ask him. And then I know that's what his answer was. I don't know. That's just yeah. Nothing is in cement, but I definitely think you've got a strong knowing and a strong hearing. And the hearing is really clear because you're a journaler and because you like to write things down and you get those words. So I think you have both going on really strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it is.
Yeah. And I even as you go to the Philippines this week or next week, I would just kind of lean into that a little. Like, did I know I was supposed to talk to that girl, or did mm-hmm. I hear God say, go talk to that girl? You know, just kind of listen. But the goal is what makes you feel most connected. Yeah. So again, hearing God's voice might be missional. Yeah. You know, I need to know this. I need to go here. Tell me what to do here. And a knowing might be a sense of confidence that mm-hmm. he's got me, a sense of knowing that I'm going to be okay, a sense of knowing I'm supposed to go to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. That knowing is really connected to like an immovable faith
yeah.
that this is what I'm supposed to do.
I love that.
Which is very much
I think that's so helpful. And so for everybody else listening who's in this, what would your one piece advice be as they determine?
Yeah, as they figured out.
Yeah.
Well, you and I kind of went through it a little. I would go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. I would ask myself what was elevated in my atmosphere yeah. and what was just naturally to me.
That's helpful.
Yeah. And then also, is there any part of me that wants to be something that I'm not? Like, I want to be a hearer, but genuinely, I don't actually hear very often, right? And so I feel a little bit of like resistance because I really want to be a visionary, but I'm not. So there's a bit of an acceptance as well to yeah. go, I am a knower. A lot of people too, and we talked about this last night, and I know we're almost out of time, but it's that thing of knowing is really safe. If you're a mm-hmm. knower, it really requires very little risk. Now, knowing, it requires a lot of faith because I don't have to have an experience to do what I know is in my heart, right? Mm-hmm. So that it requires faith, tremendous amount of faith. But the risk factor of I saw, I heard, and I feel is very different. So I tend to find people that are stuck in insecurity about hearing God or unsure, they tend to say, I'm a knower. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You can be a knower, but I encourage you to unpack a little bit more than saying, I'm just a knower. Now, statistically, we did these tests for 150,000 yes. people. The highest number were feelers, which I thought was so profound.
Yeah.
Right?
Very.
And this was like unbiased. This wasn't like done in a charismatic church. This was a Facebook like test ad. It went out to the world. It did not filter answers. And the least amount were seers. So those of you that are big dreamers and visionaries, you are a little bit on the, in the smaller group of people. So if you are feeling a little like, wow, I have big dreams and no one seems to see that, don't worry. That's kind of normal as well. Abby, this has been so good.
This has been so great.
You have to come back.
I would love to.
I want you to come back. I think these questions have been awesome. And I hope you guys are enjoying this series. Again, the goal is to help you identify how you hear God. And the goal is that you don't have to change or become someone you're not, but that you can be a full believer, fully connected to your creator, and you lack nothing in how you were created. So this has been awesome. We're going to do one more part of this series on the knower, which you guys can tune into. And then Abby, maybe we should come back and talk about marriage and relationships next. I don't know. It's going to be Valentine's Day, February. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe we'll go that direction.
Maybe.
Abby, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And for all of you that are thinking about Abby, pray for her as she goes to the Philippines. Yes, she's also going to Ecuador. It's coming up as well. Right? Ecuador?
Hopefully.
And she's fundraising for Ecuador. So if you have listened to this podcast and you have a heart to sow into her trip to Ecuador, she did not ask me to do this. This is totally me. We'll put a little link in the show notes and you guys can get her is it a, I don't know what a PayPal or a, whatever it is. I don't know how they can give. We'll put a link. And you guys can help her. She's halfway there and she'll be going to Ecuador in March. She's incredible and so courageous. And I just would love to see that taken care of. All right, you guys, that's it for today. I love you. Thanks for joining us. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Have a great week.
Bye.